Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us your name and your job title? Like, what is it that you do?
So my name is Kalena Norfar, and I am a math teacher at Northwest Classen High School in Oklahoma City Public Schools. This year I teach Algebra 1 and Pre-Calculus, but I've taught everything from Pre-Algebra to Pre-Calculus.
I feel completely out of my element working with you and Scott. How's that? what was your intention for this chat? This was a different chat. Tell us what you thought about it, and like, what did you plan for it to happen, and did it work out the way you wanted?
Yeah, so I was very nervous about this chat because I experienced talking about Observe Me through Sunday chat or hashtag Sun chat. And it's every Sunday at like 8 a.m. just for half an hour. And it's rarely a Q&A format. It's just either a topic prompt or a few questions, and we just conversate. And so I really had enjoyed it, and I love the idea of Observe Me. I thought it was such a timely message for us to talk about in Oklahoma, and such a needed discussion as we constantly work on our growth as teachers. I was like, why not? I mean, Observe Me makes so much sense. And so when I reached out, I was like, I really want to do a OCLA Ed chat on Observe Me. When can I do it? And I never thought I was going to be the same night as the Grammys. So I tried to make a little fun of, you know, hey, chill out, watch the Grammys, but also just kind of chime in when you feel like moved to say something. And it went way better than I thought. I mean, I thought the four question prompts was not going to be enough. I thought people would really miss the Q&A format, but they were going like gangbusters and talking about it way over an hour.
Yeah, no, it was fabulous. And we've been up against Game of Thrones season premiere. We've been up against a few things that have slowed the chats down. But I do think you're right. This was something where they could totally watch the Grammys if they wanted to, but still completely participate, not miss a beat, because it wasn't like they missed Q2 and they had to go back and find it or whatever. I mean, it was just a continuous conversation, and I loved it. What are the passions that you have right now that aren't education?
Oh God, that education is such a big consuming of my life, but
I know kind of it's for all of the people that are doing this, but what gets you out of education mode?
I absolutely love movies. I am a movie junkie. I'm like planning out all my weekends as much as I can of trying to see all of the movies that are nominated for an Oscar before the Oscars happen.
Any of them that really excites you?
You know, I really want to go see Three Billboards. Like, I've been trying to see that movie even before it was nominated. I was like, I just am going to die. I mean, it's just so many people in there I love. Woody Harrelson. I mean, it's just, I was like, okay, I got to go see this movie. And it never happened. And so I was so glad when it was nominated because I was like, oh, it's going to be back. And
now
so
I have
to. Going this weekend.
It looks like a good one. You know, speaking of award shows and things like that, and the Grammys being on your night, my brother, I don't know if he still is, but for several years was a Grammy voter.
Oh my word, are you kidding?
Nope, swear to God. He could vote. He was qualified to vote in, I think, three or four different categories.
What?
Yeah. Oh.
I'm so
okay, so now you need to find out how to get qualified to vote.
You gotta really be into the stuff.
Oh yeah, Oscars is tight. Like, it is so hard to be a part of that nominating process, as well as the voting. So I I want to, another movie I want to see is Get Out, but I can't watch it. Like, I'm not a scary movie person, but I am so drawn to possibly going to go see that movie just because of all of the hype around it and the messaging, and that it's like comedy mixed with horror in a way that's never been done. So I might just get some sunglasses or something to cover myself.
Which one is Get Out? Which one is that one?
That's when the Key and Peele pair. He actually, the Peele is a director of it.
Wow.
I loved one of his interviews. He said it was the horror story as a black person that I've always wanted to see. Hmm. Like, when I've gone to all horror movies, he was like, usually we're the first ones killed. I wanted to do one where it really is us as a focus. And so there's a lot of racial messaging in it, a lot of comedy, but then, I mean, the horror part too. Because he does. Okay. So, yeah. So that's what I do when I am not constantly trying to figure out how to help students, how to help teachers, how to improve mathematics education. Like, that's what I do in my spare time.
Well, and so now that you've segued back into education, what excites you in education right now? We already know Observe Me, and we're going to get into that. You're kind of the PBL queen, right?
Yes.
What else?
PBL is a huge, huge piece of my life, but I would say it's inside of a bigger just passion of mine of student-centered learning.
Yes.
I'm just really, really big on the educational system finally like turning that way. I think we've always had certain times in history that we wanted to go that direction, but we just keep sort of coming back to teacher-centered mode, and I just really want us to, in the second half of the 21st century, to truly like make big strides on making students the center of the learning again.
I love that. That's my passion right now. And any way I can find that the students get the say, that the student, I like, my big passion is letting the students do the teaching. So I want to work with you on a project centered around students, centered around project-based learning, because that is, I mean, it's huge in my world right now. So maybe we can share and be a muse for other educators out there.
I like it. I like it.
Okay. My last question before we dive into Observe Me was, who are your edu heroes? Like, who do you look up to? Where do you go to get fed?
Oh, okay. So that's such a hard one, because I'm going to leave somebody out. But
Erin only asks the tough questions.
She does. And she even gave me like a heads up so I could like think about it.
That's
so
it's right. Really, none of that.
Like, not true. Which I like. Well, my original sort of hero in education, which I was so far from being in education growing up. This is like, I would have lost all bets if I would have bet when I was younger. But Mrs. Barbara Keith was my calculus teacher in high school. And she still is the voice in my head as a teacher of elevating mathematics among people of color, among setting really, really high expectations, and never, never, ever giving up on a student. So she's like always in my head, even though we can't talk that much because she lives in Texas and is really enjoying retirement. But but she's my primary one. And then another sort of like, we call each other our accountability partners. And our accountability to each other is if we ever start sounding like we're not willing to grow, we're not willing to stay in the fight, we're not willing to keep, pressing in education, we'll be the first to tell each other we need to find a new profession or retire if we're of age. And that's Deanne Deason. She actually teaches outside of Tulsa now, but we're still that accountability partners to each other.
Yes.
So, she's a huge person for me. And then I would say right now, there's so many. I have like this, I call them my text group It's a group of educators from all across the country. But one of them is, we're familiar with, we'll actually be talking about him tonight, Andre Dowdery. is one of my tech pals, and we just constantly encourage each other. We constantly bounce ideas off each other. We constantly support each other when things are rough. But we scatter. We're all the way from Delaware to New Jersey to Texas to Oklahoma to New Orleans. And there's like six of us who we text every day.
I love that.
Those are my motivators too.
That's awesome.
Andre was one of my teachers when I was going through the master's program. And so I met him. I had no idea who he was other than, you know, seeing him on the Twitters. And we met in that class. And I mean, I just love everything he's doing. He's so awesome.
He is. He is. And I'm so glad I get to text with him every day.
Well, and you are an EdCamp organizer for EdCamp OKC, right? Are you doing that again this year?
I am. And that is another just sort of, I think, great addition to the voice in education, and truly letting teachers be empowered by their own PD. I love the unconference methodology of EdCamp. And so I joined the committee like in its second year. And then I got really, really busy and wasn't able to join again. And so I'm so glad this year and last year I was able to get back on the committee. And I'm really glad that it's like so easy. Like, it's one of those things where I'm so glad. I just keep recruiting everybody to think about joining, because I was like, it's not much. Like, we don't really do much to get this happening.
Well, and being somebody who loves student voice, at EdCamp, we are the students. And we get that voice. And so it's like flipped, you know, for educators. And so it's educator voice. And I love that, you know, not a top down approach to PD.
I love it.
Well, gosh, let's move to the template if you want to. Scott?
Oh, some weird discussion.
Well, this is Okla Said. It's the official Okla Ed podcast. And Scotty and I are doing things a little different this week because our template was thrown to the wind when you went with this format. Did you guys find it difficult to go through and find good tweets?
It was really hard because the old curveball came in with no Q1, Q2, Q3 situation. So there was no cheating.
Yeah. And it was just like some great statements that just were made. Like, I just love like the fact that they just said different stuff. It didn't necessarily go with a prompt. It was just a great dialogue.
Right.
And everybody's needs were met. I mean, people who knew something about Observe Me was having their own dialogue and like almost feeling like sidebar conversations. And then people who were like, what? I feel like I'm under a rock. What happened? What is this? And they were able to get support. I mean, it was I'm so sorry. I did throw this all off.
No, it's totally fine because what I really enjoyed on this was whenever I find my tweet, typically, I'll go to Twitter, I'll search the hashtag OklaEd, and then I'll search Q1. That wasn't a possibility this week. So I went and searched the hashtag OklaEd and then the hashtag ObserveMe. And what I found were rabbit hole threads that were happening throughout the chat.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And so I even threw in the show notes down here at the bottom one of the discussions that was going on. Because it you got into it. April was in it. Jack Reed was in it. I don't know who P. Poe is, but it was really good. So that's at the very bottom of the show notes, just to show one thread that was happening. The discussions were immense and amazing. And well, you want to dive in and talk about the non-question questions?
we'll put that picture also into our show notes for the podcast so you can see what Aaron's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does the hashtag ObserveMe impact growth? And so do you want to start us off, T?
Yeah, so I, that was kind of the biggest thing to me. And I think so many people came away with so many ways that this grows you. I definitely really only thought of it as a teacher aspect. And I would definitely think of it selfishly as a math person. But one of the things that stuck out that I liked that Granger and I kept having like all these conversations, and now I'm going to Clinton to see them. But I loved her point about the cross-curricularness. And she was like, you know, this should, the growth of it should be cross-curricular. And not only does it provide feedback, but allows for opportunity to see where teachers can collaborate outside of their subject area. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I didn't even think about that.
Right.
I've thought about this before, too, where just because I'm a math teacher doesn't mean I can't get great ideas from social studies or English or an international language.
Yeah. No, exactly. I am realizing I didn't put who said or whatever in here, so I apologize that I'm not going to be able to call you out, but it says, I think that Observe Me can foster growth, but only if meaningful feedback is provided. I also think that the observer should be open to learning as well. However, chaos is chaos, so you can't call disorder a difference in procedures. And I really thought that spoke to me because somebody walks into my place of learning, it's going to look crazy. And I don't want that to be a strike against me. And so I liked the idea of, whenever I looked this up, because I had never seen it before, putting three objectives that you want specific feedback on versus an entire rubric of how to, you know, to judge what I'm doing. Because you may think what I've got going on is chaos, but I think it's, you know, learning. So I liked this tweet.
Well, there could be a lot going on in there. I think that was Kimberly Blodgett, but I'm not sure. I'm looking right now.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I went with Steve Gilliland here, and he said Observe Me can be a great tool, but you only get out what you put into it. You've got to get out and go visit other classrooms. So if we just want people to come to us, well, that's great, but how are we going to... I mean, we got to complete that whole circle. We got to go 360 with that sucker.
Yeah. That's such a good point.
Otherwise, it's just consumption. Like, you're fueling me, but then I'm not turning around and pouring that fuel onto somebody else or whatever.
Yeah.
So, the second question then we had was, what are the pros and cons to Observe Me? And kind of one of the things that I feel like could be a con is when somebody comes into... You know, if somebody isn't familiar with how your classroom is organized and they walk in and see chaos, you could get not the right kind of feedback.
Right, exactly.
Or you could have terrible classroom management and somebody comes in and thinks that you just have messy learning and then you don't get the right feedback. So exactly. There's got to be some sort of consistency here.
I liked what Andre had to say here. Andre Dowdy, he was throwing out the pros and cons left and right. I mean, yep. If you go in and search the Oakland Ed pros, which is what I was searching to try to find answers here, he had like, I don't know, 6 tweets on pros and 7 tweets on cons. He was going to town here. But I liked what he said when he said asking teachers and administrators to focus on specific things with the sign outside the door helps them to hone in on the specific things, not other parts of the lesson. This could show your administrators that you're really working on your craft before and after the observation.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that. And that's another reason that more than 140 characters was necessary, because that was going to be way too much to shorten for 140 characters. But it was all meaningful, so I really liked that. And I don't know if you see that I wrote my own self for the cons. I only did what I remember to mention what I wanted to say here. I really liked the idea of whenever I was spewing out my pros and cons, I kind of thought it was for students to be able to observe me as well. And then Andre said something about that too. Could you imagine using this with students? And that was my first place that I went with it. And so I thought students could totally do it, but you have to teach them how to give meaningful feedback. And I put thinking Socratic method. And so what do you guys think about that, using your students to do, to tell you how you did on those three things or those four things that you're wanting feedback on?
Oh, I totally agree. And I love that in the movement, like if you just do the hashtag of observe me, that is a big bulk of feedback, because the students are always there.
And
they definitely can tell you specifically. But I think as a person who's worked on kids always, not only just giving me feedback, but giving each other feedback, and just understanding what critique and revision is, that it's just got to be a normal part of your classroom space so that they get better at it. And you do want to use some tools that help sort of eliminate the bias that could come out. So not too many just like them give their comments, but maybe some ranking, picking through some options. I know that's what my Observe Me form is. It does have one spot where they can answer, but it has a lot of spots where they strongly agree or disagree with a very like specific statement. And I think that helps adults too, because I mean, kids are not great at it because they haven't been taught, but adults are horrible at how to give feedback too. And so I ditto, you know, Andre and you's comment about really being specific, because if I didn't ask you about my classroom management, then don't give me feedback on that. Like I'm telling you what I really want help with, not for the extraneous pieces. But at the same time, that brings me to one of the things I love about it is, and I can't remember the name of the person, but it was KMAC Oklahoma was the handle.
His name is Kevin. Stephen Prillman.
Ah, okay.
No. KMAC Oklahoma. That's Kevin McDonald.
Kevin McDonald. Thank you.
Okay. That sounds for me. But I love the bringing up of the fact that this could really bring all of the levels of education together. That primary, secondary, and higher ed could start talking to each other as a result of Observe Me. That would be so powerful.
And I think it's important to get the students' feedback back too. But, you know, one of the questions that came up was, well, how can you make sure you're getting good feedback from kindergartners, or can you make sure you're getting good feedback from high school kids? Because kindergartners may or may not understand what you're trying to communicate. And so how can you respond to a way that meets their needs? But I remember too, when I first started flipping my room, kids hated that for like 6 weeks. The feedback would have been, forget this, I'm not learning this way.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's got to be somehow that happy medium in there.
No, I totally agree. And I think if you're used to teaching kindergartners, you might be able to shape the questions in a way that kindergarten, I mean, they are completely unfiltered. They do not mince words. Kindergartners giving you feedback, they mean it, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Like you've got boogers hanging out of your nose. I mean...
Ew!
So true.
Yeah. Well, question three, how can we make Observe Me the norm for our school or state? What are you thinking there?
Oh my God. So I can't even believe that she still joins our chats. I'm still amazed by that. But our superintendent, I love the way she dittoed a conversation about starting with relationships.
Yes.
And that you can't do this without trust happening, or I would even add leadership happening, because that's one of the reasons why I'm kicking it off in my building, because I do have great relationships with people. And I think that can grow as they trust, because they already trust me and I trust them, and I can get them to possibly let me come observe them once they've observed me. But yeah, yes, relationships is so key for it to turn into a norm.
Agreed. And you geeked out on that, but Andre geeked out on that one as well. That was super fun to watch. I really liked what Kevin Heim had to say here, and he was at Coach 57. He said, you don't have to be bad to get better. And that again spoke to me, like, just because we get the official evaluation also doesn't mean that we can't do this way of it as well. And that could be the way that you approach it in your school or in your hallway. Like, you don't have to be bad to get better. Let's try this and let's see if we can't hone in our craft and make great teachers, I mean, good teachers great. Mm-hmm. You know, I really liked what he had to say here.
And I went with Tyler Bridges, who's at Bridges Tyler. He said, "No one is above observe me. If we are truly in the profession to better ourselves and be lifelong learners, then we must be open to others giving us feedback to improve."
Agreed.
And I don't know very much about Robert Kaplansky, but Kevin Heim, Tyler Bridges, and Joy, those are all our administrative leaders, as it were. And so I think in order for observe me to be successful, yes, the teachers need to be willing, but there has to be some administration support of that to help teachers to go do these things as well.
Well, and I saw Robert had joined our conversation. I didn't know who he was, so I went down that rabbit trail as well. I went to his Twitter page and saw that you could, from his bio, click to get information. I signed up for that. I went and followed him on Pinterest because his Pinterest boards are amazing. And so I got a new person to follow, and it looks like he kind of may have started this Observe Me thing.
Yeah, he took, he's an instructional coach in the math world, and he saw a teacher do it, and he's kind of just like taking it and run with it, and just applauded that teacher. And then sort of evolved it. I mean, it was just this one teacher sort of like, "I'm just wanting to get some help. So come observe me." And it became a hashtag.
I love it. And he joined in our conversation. How fabulous is that?
No, I so geeked out on that too.
Yeah.
It's always fun when those people you admire from afar pop in.
Oh, Scott, I was just saying, Scott, you took my person because when I was thinking about who else I can pull out of the norm part, I did like Tyler Bridges, and I even gave him sort of a standing ovation. I was like, "You get my first standing ovation of the night." That was perfect. Because I think, I don't know, it's always been weird to me when I came in the educational profession, because I wasn't always here, mm-hmm. how isolated it was. And no other profession is as isolated as education is. And so it just was dumbfounding to me that not every aspect of a field that is about learning learns the least as a profession. So that's
pretty powerful what you just said there, because I agree. I felt the same way. I felt like once you close that door, you're kind of in your own silo. And even though we all have silos on the farm, they operate kind of singly. You know, it seems pretty singular, even though we're all in the same building. We all have different, you know, goals or I mean, it's a shared collective. We have to teach the kids. But when we close that door, the silo closes and we are on our own. I totally agree with you there.
Well, and how often do you hear teachers tell you, "I don't like people coming in and seeing how I teach"? Like, yeah. I get nervous when somebody else is in the room. And yeah. And we shouldn't be that way. That shouldn't be part of our normal part of teaching.
Yeah.
Right.
So true.
Well, Q4.
Question 4, share a goal you will put outside your door this week.
So, T, what's on the door outside of your room?
Oh my God. So it took me forever to think of what is the things I really want to have focused on for this coming up semester. And so reflection is one of them. It has been the hardest strategy, great practice for me to implement in my room. And so I've actually even been making a different tool for my kids to respond to me. They're having sort of a different observe me than adults that come through and observe me. But I really want to know if they are reflecting throughout the entire time we're together, that they truly understand what they're supposed to be learning, that they're thinking about the strategies that they're using to learn, and that I'm modeling how to think through that and navigate a great reflection experience. And then the second thing is their communication. I've had great times where students really do communicate well, and I've been able to sort of capture it on camera sometimes of them like fighting about math, which is so cool. But usually I really want them to speak articulately. I want them to communicate how they're thinking strongly, because that will make such a difference in their life. So those are my two goals that I have on the outside of my door with a cute little meme of me and welcoming everybody to my class.
I haven't thought about what I'm going to put on my door, but I went with the Jason Bangs tweet here, and he said, if you aren't prepared to grow when you post "observe me" on your door, take it down and go back on your own island of teaching. Your kids will suffer for it, and you will be miserable, and it's obvious that your administrator hasn't provided quality feedback to you. And then again, Andre came in. There was a conversation that happened here. Andre came in and is like, I think I disagree because, and Jason was like, no, this is what I meant. And then Andre was like, oh, totally. Carry no. on.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. So if you click on that link, you can see the entire conversation. But I just thought that was pretty awesome.
I think he's got a point there. If you aren't willing to have some constructive criticism, speaking is hard. If you aren't willing to get some constructive criticism about what you're doing, don't let somebody else come in and watch you teach. But he's right. I mean, you won't get better. But we don't see our own holes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I went with Rhonda Schroeder, and she is at Rhonda Schroeder. She said, we have room to grow and improve, and I'm sure there are things we haven't done right. But getting out of the slump of silos and receptive to feedback has been culture changing in itself. So again, not necessarily specifically answering the question, but she is telling us where she wants to go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
well, and you gave a shout out here on your boom sauce. Who were you shouting out to and why?
Me?
No,
oh.
T.
Oh,
okay. I was like, I wasn't sure which one of us. I love every time a person in leadership steps out and does something new without saying, oh, we all about to do this, or you're about to do this. But just, I love the way she, you know, she said that she got it, you know, exposed to it through her boss. She noticed the sign on her office door, the tag on her Twitter profile, and as she kept saying, and I was inspired. Her openness to communicate struggles, ask for feedback or ideas, and celebrate success to successes, to me, it epitomizes Observe Me in Okla Ed. And so yeah. that was just powerful to me.
I went with a Jennifer Seitzinger tweet here, and she is at Room 20 Awesome. She said, I think of all the times I've reminded my students that we learn from mistakes, we're always growing. If I believe this, I'll join the Observe Me movement as well. Wow, this growth mindset stuff can be intimidating. And I was like, yes, it can. But I love that she connected Observe Me to growth mindset as well, because it really is. It's about growing and putting your mind in a different place to be able to do that.
Growing is hard.
It's hard.
It makes me hurt.
It makes Jennifer hurt as well. Oof.
So I went with Jason Perez. He is at Jason Perez 75. He said, we greatly underestimate the power of feedback in the eval process. The numbers don't matter, but the words can lead to growth. And I think I tweeted, responded to Andre, because Andre was pretty much on fire. But you can't boil teaching down to a rubric where you just go through and check off the boxes. Like, you just can't right. do that. And so, yes, we way underestimate the power of feedback in evaluation. And timely feedback. It's critical.
Yes. I ask after almost everything I do, except for teach a lesson. if I can have feedback, if I present at some conference, I want to know how I did. I want to know what you thought of my presentation, because I want to make it better. Mm-hmm. You know, my students are going to present at OMLEA, and I kind of want, I'm thinking about throwing a Google form out there so that the people that come to our session tell us how we did, because, you know, we get blinders on as educators sometimes, and that feedback is so important, and I want to know it. Good, bad, and ugly, I want to know it.
Mm-hmm. I had an administrator one time that didn't know very much about flip class, except it was different than normal, and she came in and observed a couple of times, and then like a couple days later we're talking, and she was like, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Have you tried this? Have you done this? Have you? So she was just pouring into me all these different things to think about that I hadn't considered yet, but just from her time in my room, and she came by a couple times to see, she gave me some great ideas. We may change, you know, I changed what I did based off of her ideas, and she wasn't as familiar with what I was trying to do. So I thought that was great.
I love it.
So true.
All right. Well, next week on the Oakla Ed Chat, we've got Doug Brown, who's hosting. I reached out to him on the Twitters to see if he knew what he was going to be talking about. I don't know what we're talking about this time, so I don't know. Join in to see.
It'll be good. Doug is phenomenal.
He is. He really
Maybe
is.
We'll be talking about a possible pay raise. That's
it's an election year, so we really can't talk about that in election year. But next year we can talk about a framework for deciding on a framework. But then it'll be an election year again, you know.
We may have some deep-seated feelings about that. I don't know. Maybe. That'll be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday, just like every Sunday that comes before and after it.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, shame on me. Fool me four times. Yeah, and I believe there's a little thing called Super Bowl next weekend, Aaron. Now, I don't know. I know you're not familiar with the Super Bowl, so let me tell you what's going to happen. Justin Timberlake is performing halftime show. Have you heard of that guy? A little singer named Justin Timberlake?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. All right,
so. I'm going to be in and out of Oakla Ed Chat again.
But then after that, Brant Nyberg and I are going to talk about sacred cow tipping. I'm so excited.
And I still have no clue what that is. So maybe you can give us tweets. Don't tell us here now. But maybe you can throw some things out on the Twitter sphere that give us glimpses of, and we can all start trying to assume about, and then we can all be blown away when it happens.
Okay, that sounds really good. Well, at the Norfar, you hosted a great Twitter chat.
It was amazing.
Thank you.
Do you know our sign off already?
Is it all right, educators? You know what to do. Go dominate the world.
Yes, it is.
That's pretty good.
Good.
All right. And is anybody there?
Can you guys hear me?
Am I talking into the wind alone with my thoughts?
Well, I definitely am about to go dominate.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Okay.